Spanker was, but when the guide drum started up this time, it was Spanker's stone would come out of the hat, and we set him to dance. I guess Winston would come next, but you did for him with your guide-rotted guns, so you did.
She wiped blood deliberately from her cheek, looked at it, and then returned her sullen glance to Eddie.
Well, what do you think Winston was trying to do to me with his god-rotted spear? Eddie asked.
He was disgusted to find the woman had actually made him feel guilty about what he had done.
Trim my sideburns? Killed Frank and Luster, too, she went on, doggedly. And what are you, either grays, which is bad, or a couple of god-rotted outlanders, which is worse? Who's left for the pubes in City North? Topsy, I suppose. Topsy the sailor, but he ain't here, is he? Took his boat and went off downriver, eh? So he did, and God rot him too, says I.
Susanna had ceased listening. Her mind had fixed with horrified fascination on something the woman had said earlier. It was Spanker's stone what come out of the hat, and we set him to dance. She remembered reading Shirley Jackson's story, The Lottery, in college, and understood that these people, the degenerate descendants of the original pubes, were living Jackson's nightmare. No wonder they weren't capable of any strong emotion when they knew they would have to participate in such a grisly drawing not once a year, as in the story, but two or three times each day.
Why? She asked the bloody woman in a harsh, horrified voice. Why do you do it?
The woman looked at Susanna as if she was the world's biggest fool.
Why? Well, so the ghosts that live in the machines won't take over the bodies of those who have died here, pubes and grays alike, and send them up through the holes in the streets to eat us. Any fool knows that.
There are no such things as ghosts, Susanna said.
And her voice sounded like so much meaningless quacking to her own ears. Of course there were. In this world, there were ghosts everywhere. Nevertheless, she pushed ahead.
What you call the God drums is only a tape stuck in a machine. That's really all it is.
Sudden inspiration struck her, and she added,
Oh, maybe the Greys are doing it on purpose. Did you ever think of that? They live in the other part of the city, don't they? And under it as well? They've always wanted you out. Maybe they've just hit on a really efficient way of getting you guys to do their work for them.
The bloody woman was standing next to an elderly gent wearing what looked like the world's oldest bowler hat and a pair of frayed khaki shorts. Now he stepped forward and spoke to her with a patina of good manners that turned his underlying contempt into a dagger with razor-sharp edges.
You are quite wrong, Madam Gunslinger. There are a great many machines under Ludd, and there are ghosts in all of them, demonous spirits which bear only ill will to mortal men and women. These demon ghosts are very capable of raising the dead, and in Ludd there are a great many dead to raise.
Listen, Eddie said, have you ever seen one of these zombies with your own eyes, Jeeves? Have any of you?
Jeeves curled his lip and said nothing. But that lip curl really said it all. What else could one expect, it asked, from outlanders who used guns as a substitute for understanding. Eddie decided it would be best to close off the whole line of discussion. He had never been cut out for missionary work anyway. He waggled the Ruger at the blood-stained woman.
You and your friend there, the one who looks like an English butler on his day off, are going to take us to the railroad station. After that, we can all say goodbye. And I'll tell you the truth, that's going to make my fucking day.
Railroad station? The guy who looked like Jeeves the butler asked. What is a railroad station?
Take us to the cradle, Susanna said.
Take us to Blaine.
This finally rattled Jeeves. An expression of shocked horror replaced the world-weary contempt with which he had thus far treated them.
You can't go there, he cried. The cradle is forbidden ground, and Blaine is the most dangerous of all Ludd's ghosts.
Forbidden ground, Eddie thought. Great. If it's a truth, at least we'll be able to stop worrying about you assholes. It was also nice to hear that there still was a Blaine, or that these people thought there was, anyway. The others were staring at Eddie and Susanna with expressions of uncomprehending amazement. It was as if the interlopers had suggested to a bunch of born-again Christians that they hunt up the Ark of the Covenant and turn it into a pay toilet. Eddie raised the Ruger until the center of Jeeves' forehead lay in the sight.
We're going, he said. And if you don't want to join your ancestors right here and now, I suggest you stop pissing and moaning and take us there.
Jeeves and the blood-stained woman exchanged an uncertain glance, but when the man in the bowler hat looked back at Eddie and Susanna, his face was firm and set.
shoot us if you like," he said. "We'd sooner die here than there."
"You folks are a bunch of sick motherfuckers with dying on the brain," Susanna cried at them. "Nobody has to die. Just take us where we want to go, for the love of God."
The woman said somberly, "But it is death to enter Blaine's cradle, Mum, so it is, for Blaine sleeps, and he who disturbs his rest must pay a high price."
"Come on, beautiful," Eddie snapped. "You can't smell the coffee with your head up your ass."
"I don't know what that means," she said with an odd and perplexing dignity.
"It means you can take us to the cradle and risk the wrath of Blaine, or you can stand your ground here and experience the wrath of Eddie. It doesn't have to be a nice clean headshot, you know. I can take you a piece at a time, and I'm feeling just mean enough to do it. I'm having a very bad day in your city. The music sucks, everybody has a bad case of B.O., and the first guy we saw threw a grenade at us and kidnapped our friend. So what do you say?"
"Why would you go to Blaine in any case?" one of the others asked. "He stirs no more from his birth in the cradle, not for years now. He has even stopped speaking in his many voices and laughing."
Speaking in his many voices and laughing, Eddie thought. He looked at Susanna. She looked back and shrugged.